T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Joining us on the line, we have from the Jacobs School of Medicine, the Chief of Infectious Disease there, Dr. Tom Russo, once again joining us. Dr. Russo, thanks as always. We'll always start by kind of looking at the picture locally and what we see, and that infection rate number, the percentage of positive test results staying about the same, but we have been talking over the past few weeks about a rise in hospitalizations that has been steady over a period of time. You know, the one thing I'm noticing, though, when looking at these hospitalization numbers is you can compare the amount to back in June, but the amount of ICU patients is pretty significantly less than what we were seeing in June, when the total hospitalizations was about the same number. Should we read into that at all? Does that say anything about who is being hospitalized now, or is it more about the ability to treat people a little bit better?
I think it's both, Brian. I think that overall, the average age of individuals that are being hospitalized now is a little bit younger than it was back in the early parts of the pandemic. And this is in large part due to the fact that younger individuals represent a larger proportion of infected cases at this point. I think the other half of that is we do now have some treatments, albeit they're not optimal, but we have remdesivir and we have dexamethasone, and dexamethasone is the one treatment that's been shown to decrease mortality. And physicians are being aggressive in starting these agents when patients come into hospital, and I think it's impacting it. There's a couple of papers recently out that's showing that we're doing much better in terms of mortality with our hospitalized patients than we were in the beginning of the pandemic.
So it's the therapeutics maybe helping more. It's not that patients are less sick right now, right?
It is a combination of things. The therapeutics, definitely. The fact that some of these patients are getting hospitalized are a little bit younger. Age is a wonderful thing when you're sick. And also, independent of the therapeutics, sort of other types of intensive care unit supportive measures, such as better understanding how to handle oxygenation and those sorts of factors, fluids, some blood thinners, because some of these patients could get clots or thromboses, which could be very serious as well. So there's a number of factors that are coming into play here.
I'm kind of wondering what you're thinking about the changing temperatures, because obviously this week we're maybe seeing that shift more so than not. We're hearing, of course, about the rising cases throughout the entire U.S. Are we reaching that point where it becomes a concern, where people doing more things inside and things like that is a driving factor in the amount of increasing numbers that we're seeing?
I think it is, Brian. I think Alaska and the upper Midwest states are sort of a cautionary tale, because even though people like to give Buffalo a hard time about being cold, Buffalo really isn't that cold, and we haven't hit a stretch of very cold weather yet. But those states have, and it's driven people indoors. And when you go indoors and you're not using masks, we know this virus could spread readily. Alaska was completely under control in one of our best states, and now they're having a huge surge of cases again that the local public health officials are attributing to a combination of indoor activities and less than excellent mask usage. I think one of the things we want to try to avoid with the COVID fatigue setting in and as we shift indoors is we're all tempted to have that gathering a party, whether it's over a Bills game or dinner, where we invite our friends from outside our social bubble to come in, have some food, have some drink. That is going to be a potentially precarious situation because masks will be down, and we've seen a number of cases in that particular setting recently.
Dr. Russo, communities are around here putting out Halloween guidelines. You know, a lot of them are planning alternative events, such as drive-through events. But, you know, trick-or-treating is largely done outdoors. Do you feel it's safe for kids to trick-or-treat?
So I think that, you know, the CDC recommends that we shouldn't have Halloween as usual. Having said that, I think we could come up with a modified plan that minimizes risk. And that will involve trick-or-treating within your social bubble, either with or without your parents, depending on your age. So not the gathering of the large groups of kids that sometimes you see sort of moving in an amoeboid fashion across the neighborhood. People wearing masks. If parents go out, them to wear their COVID masks, and the trick-or-treaters to wear the COVID masks, ideally making it part of their Halloween costume, and if not, a loose-fitting mask over that, so you obviously don't want to impede any sort of respiration. And then when it comes to the going to houses, what I would recommend is trick-or-treat in houses that have put the candy outdoors or in the driveway. So that way there's no interaction by ringing doorbells, and you don't know people that answer the doorbell wearing masks. And if you're giving out the candy, you don't know if the trick-or-treaters are wearing masks as well. So that's what I would recommend, putting the candy out, a limited number of bars, replenishing it just in case you get cleaned out by someone.
Which has been known to happen. You know, we are keep hearing still day by day the positive test result number, all these numbers kind of coming out. And, you know, I'm wondering what your advice to people would be when it comes to hearing these numbers, because I think it kind of gives us a distorted sense of where we are at certain times. On a day-to-day basis, you can hear, oh, we're doing really well, and then the next day it's, oh, not so good. And meanwhile, for 99.9% of people listening, they say, well, what I did didn't change at all. What did I do to make us go from not so good to very well, or vice versa? How do you think people should take in these numbers, and how often should people be looking at them?
Well, they shouldn't be looking at them on a daily basis, that's for sure. You know, trends or rolling seven-day averages are a much better reflection of how we're doing than any individual day number. And remember, test positivity is, there's a lot of factors that go into that. How many tests were done, who was tested, when results came back. Having said that, with our rolling seven-day averages and our new cases per 100,000 over the last several weeks, we're really doing very well here in Erie County. Some of that, the governor talks about us as part of the Western New York region, and that's what at the state level they're tracking numbers at. But the bump in cases has mostly been outside of Erie County in the more rural areas. I've said this to several people. If Erie County was a state, our numbers would be only bested by Maine and Vermont. But we know this virus could, flare up at any time. We do have smoldering disease in the community. So we're doing some good things. We have to continue to do good things. And I think what people should focus on is not the numbers, but their behavior, and continue to avoid risky situations, continue to wear those masks. It's been successful for us here. And remember, we control our fate. We control the number of new cases with our behavior. And, despite all the doom and gloom we hear about the fall and the winter coming, we could really minimize the new cases if we continue to do well as we've been doing over the last several weeks.
What do you tell people who are just sick of it? They say they're just tired of hearing it day in and day out and want to live their life.
I would tell them, take a deep breath. I understand it. You're totally justified, but you need to regroup. You know, the vaccines are coming, okay? We're still months away from, getting a safe and efficacious vaccine identified. I think that's going to probably be coming in late November and December. and then the whole process of getting people vaccinated, which is going to be more complicated and take several months, of course. But having said that, this is not the time to let your guard down. I get it, but this COVID fatigue is in large part responsible for the surges that are occurring across this country and elsewhere in the world. And here in Western New York, we just can't be victimized by that very natural feeling. So it's okay to take a moment, acknowledge it, and then let's get past it and move on and continue to do the good work that we've been doing.
Hey, Dr. Russo, always appreciate the time. That's Dr. Tom Russo, Chief of Infectious Disease at the Jacobs School of Medicine, joining us live this morning.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.